Do you believe in God?
My mom is going to watch this, so yes.
Your mom's going to watch you say that.
I think it's the lack of hope that comes and gets you. See, I believe in hope. I believe in belief.
Let me tell you what I believe. I believe it. I believe we will face everything.
I believe that we will win.
I believe I can fly.
Do you believe in life after love?
Si tu lo crees.
When you believe.
I believe, I believe, I believe, yeah. I believe, I believe, I believe, yeah.
You made me, oh, you made me a believer.
Believer,
believer, believer.
If you believe.
Oh, goodness.
This one's a polarizing question, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that enough to believe, 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 believe in your love?
Last weekend was Easter here at Focus Church, and let me tell you, a lot of people came to our three service and watched us online. As a matter of fact, the final count was that 447 people joined us for Easter last weekend. That's awesome. What's also really cool about that number is that of that number, 83 people came to Focus Church for the very first time. Yes, we celebrate new people. And of those people who came, that came for the first time, we were able to tally up that people came because they were invited, that people came because they were someone's plus one. People came because their kids go to our after-school program during the week. There were people who came because they saw a sign and they just felt drawn that they were supposed to be here for Easter. There were people who came because their kids are in eat, hang, and play. There were people who came because their kids came to Summer Explosion last year. There were people who came to Easter because they've received a pumpkin pie from Focus Church. And through last weekend, as we were challenged to believe, there were five people who said yes to Jesus and made him the leader of their life. And as we looked at the idea of believing, and when we ended up the message, we talked about a guy that's recorded in the book of Mark, a dad who needed help for a son who went to Jesus and said, Jesus, please help us if you can. And Jesus was like, if I can, anything is possible for those who believe. And so the dad replied, I believe, but please help me with my unbelief. And one of you wrote on your connection card that that was the part that impacted you the most of, I didn't know that I could ask for God's help when it comes to unbelief. And today, as we focus on God's word for us today, as we're going into week two of this message series called Believe, we're looking at this idea of unbelief. But what do we do with this? See, we're looking to hopefully ask and both answer this question of, when it comes to unbelief, what do I do? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. We're going to be turning today to Luke chapter 24. We're reading out the New Living Translation. Now, the words are going to be up on the screen as we go along, but we highly encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone so that you can look it up with us, so you can find it, so you can see that you can read on your phone the same thing that we're talking about here at Focus Church. And because we highly encourage you to reread that passage for yourself and read before, read after it, but don't read before and after it while I'm talking. Do it later, okay? Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. The answers are going to be up on the screen. And This is so that you can pay attention, so that you can remember what you're saying, what we're saying here, and so that you can know exactly how long is this guy going to be talking for today, because I promise when we get to the end, I'll be done. Now, these notes are useful from the standpoint of, we ask that you consider using them later on this week. Turn it into a devotional. Reread the notes. Reread the passage for yourself all around it. Find out for yourself what the Bible says. Now today we're joined with people who are watching online with us on our live stream, and we just want to say, hey, we love you. We're thankful that you are here, and we want to know who is here. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment, would you let us know that you're watching with us? And you can do that by writing in the comments below and say, hey, this is my name, and here's who I'm watching with or where I'm watching from. And we have hosts who are watching the service with you that are monitoring those comments, and they want to greet you. So we thank you for doing that. We're glad you're here. Today we're reading in Luke chapter 24, and for this is the last chapter of Luke, and this is the story we were already talking about last week. We were in Luke chapter 24. We're dealing with the resurrection of Jesus. We're talking about the exact same day, because last week we talked about the morning. The ladies came, they saw angels, they went back and reported there was a foot race. And the next part of what happens in the story is that we shift to two other followers of Jesus. They're not even main disciples. They're just followers of Jesus. Matter of fact, one of them's name is Cleopas. And they're going on a hike. They're going on a journey. They're going to Emmaus. And it's about a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're walking. And as they're walking along, they're talking about all the events that had just taken place about this Jesus guy and what was happening. And was he the Messiah? And could he be, you know, the trial and the execution and the death and all those things, and they're talking about it kind of excitedly. And while they're talking about it, as they're going along, walking on this journey, they don't even realize that another person has joined them on their journey. And this other person was Jesus himself. That the Bible says that God did something where they couldn't recognize that he was Jesus, but he was with them. And that's where we're picking up today in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 17, and Jesus is about to ask them a question. He's like going to startle them, like, hey, I'm here, and I want to know more. And so in verse 17, it says this, he, meaning Jesus, asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, he replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. Well, the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. And this all happened just 3 days ago. But then some women from our group of followers were at his tomb early this morning. And they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. And they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men, they ran out to see. And sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, as we learn about believe and unbelief, I pray that you would challenge us, and that you would change us, and that you would help us to grow in our faith. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Unbelief. How many have ever heard this phrase? I want you to let me know by raising your hand. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. Right. It's, you know, if it's too good to be true, you're like, we have trouble believing something that we can't quite wrap our mind around, that we can't quite understand. Now, have you seen all the new buildings that are being built all around Sun Prairie? It seems that every road you go on, there's just building after building, construction after construction. It makes you want to think, like, what recession? What inflation? Wow, Sun Prairie is a happening place. And there's always buildings going up, and many people are left wondering what's being built there. I've got some good news. I don't know if you've noticed, but just down the road, there's like a 3-story tall building. Right now, it's currently wrapped in yellow because it's in the middle of being constructed. It's going to be a new IKEA. You see, Sun Prairie is always announcing new projects and buildings that are going up. They even have podcasts about this. It's always in the news, and there's even Facebook groups dedicated to being able to ask the question, what's this thing being built? And you know what? It never fails that there's always one answer that always comes up. No matter what question you're asking about what's being built in Sun Prairie, someone always puts, it's an IKEA. Because the fact that an IKEA is coming to Sun Prairie is the longest running community joke we have. So if you ever hear anyone saying that an IKEA is coming to Sun Prairie, don't believe it. It's too good to be true, okay? Oh, man. You know, some of you are like, yes, IKEA, yeah, we're getting one, this is great. No, and then you're like, why is there an IKEA box on the stage? Huh, we'll find out in a moment. This story that we're reading, it takes place the day that they discover the body's missing out of the tomb. And these two guys who were walking along to Emmaus, they were surprised to meet somebody who didn't know what was going on. Like, this blew their mind. Like, wow, how could you not be up with social media? How can you possibly not know that this was the thing happening in Jerusalem? You see, they thought the story of Jesus was over. And why do we think they thought that? It was in the way they talked about Jesus to the stranger going down the road. It's how they shared the story of Jesus to the stranger. You see, they put it through their lens of what they had seen and who they thought the Messiah was supposed to be. You see, we read in verse 21, they said this phrase. They said, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. If ever there was a statement of not having hope, of not believing. You see, they were only looking at Jesus' story through their own eyes. We can tell a lot by what we see. We tend to try to trust our eyes, but then our eyes tend to deceive us at all times, that we don't really see everything. I think about this when I follow football. I love football. Kansas City Chiefs are my favorite team, as recognized by the nice football trophy they got this last year. And I heard you guys have some sort of green team that can't figure out if you can keep your quarterback or not. But let me just tell you, in football, defenders, one of their keys to being a good defender is that while they're waiting for the quarterback to throw the ball, do you know what they're looking at? They're looking at the eyes of the quarterback. Because wherever the eyes of the quarterback are, they know that he's looking at his target. So they can possibly get a jump. Get a jump on where is he going to throw the ball, because he's looking this way. He's going to throw it to this guy, and they can help defend and maybe even intercept the ball. Unless you happen to be defending the Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who has highlight reel after highlight reel of constantly looking this way and all of a sudden throwing the ball that way and doing a perfect pass to his wide receiver. It's amazing. Unbelievable. Our eyes. It's not always about what we see. Your eyes are looking at a cardboard box on stage that says the words IKEA on it. This is actual an IKEA product. It's a Christmas present of mine that took 3 months to come in. What it's supposed to be is a big bookshelf with cubes, a gigantic one to go in my home office. And as you can tell, it's already in my office, right? Now, here's the thing. IKEA makes some pretty neat looking furniture. They have some pretty decent prices. But really, the genius of IKEA is they've got engineers dedicated to taking something so big and beautiful and somehow getting it into a tiny little box that can fit in your car. That's really the genius of IKEA, is that somehow in this box is a whole bookshelf. And if we were to open up this box, we'd see that they wasted no space at all, that they have crammed every little thing in here. And I have to say that when my eyes see this box, I have a hard time believing that there is a really cool bookshelf in there. And if I was to open it and lay out the 147 different pieces that are crammed into this box and see that it's just one gigantic puzzle, I would have a hard time believing that it could become a beautiful bookshelf in my office. It's unbelievable. I have to say, when it comes to this box, I have unbelief. It is so complicated on how they put this thing together that people, I think they lose relationships over this, of trying to build IKEA furniture. As a matter of fact, there's a whole career field out there of people who just go around building IKEA furniture for other people. I mean, it's hard. You can't just open the box and say, oh, it's a Lego set. I'll just put it together, right? No. It's unbelievable. I have unbelief when it comes to this. And these two guys, they thought the story of Jesus was over because they watched him die. They saw it. Sometimes for us, we stop at the fact that Jesus died for us. And yet, there's so much more to the story. There's so much more to the story for you and your relationship with Jesus, because we look and say, hey, Jesus died for me. That was an amazing sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for giving up your life. I mean, the Bible says no greater love has any man than if he lay down his life for someone else. Wow, what a great friend, Jesus. Thank you. But what many thought was the end actually was only the beginning. You see, these followers of Jesus who are walking down this road, they thought they knew the story. They thought the story was over, but that very morning, their world was rocked. Why? Because the events of that day left them confused. Verse 22, if we read it in the Message translation, it says, but now some of our women have completely confused us. How did the women confuse them? They shared a story. They went to the tomb. The body wasn't there. The stone was rolled away. An angel appeared and said, why are you looking for the dead amongst the living? You know what? Let me be real with you for a moment. I mean, I am being real with you. That kind of says, like, I haven't been being real with you. But let me just say this out loud. The story of Jesus' resurrection, it's a crazy story. It's hard to swallow. It's like, and the reason why it is because it doesn't happen. Like, people who die don't come back to life. But this doesn't happen. I mean, angels appearing saying, why are you looking for him? And so we can kind of, I think all of us, we can, and those watching online, we can relate to these two guys saying, I can't wrap my mind around this. And so when we're being asked to believe, we find ourselves in a position where we have unbelief because it sounds too good to be true. And I think the whole point of what these guys were looking at is, one, their eyes are what they saw, what they know, but also this confusing story these ladies told that, yeah, the body was gone, but just because there's a missing body doesn't mean that someone is alive. Right? Now, when we can't comprehend something that's natural or normal, what we're really dealing with is a whole other realm known as the supernatural. Things that's not of this world, that this doesn't happen. And when we start getting confronted with supernatural things, we have a hard time comprehending. Because in our minds, what we see, it doesn't make sense. And the crazy thing about this whole situation with these two travelers was, who were they talking to this whole time? Jesus. And they're saying, hey, there's no proof. We're kind of confused about the story. We thought he was the Messiah, but we watched him get killed, and we don't know what to believe. And why didn't Jesus in that moment just say, ta-da! I'm here. I mean, wouldn't that have been the best proof of all? I mean, he was right there with them, yet they couldn't recognize him. But he was there. He could have said, guys, it's true. Every part of it. All the stories. I'm here. But he didn't. Instead, he did something else. You see, proof was provided in Scripture. Verse 25. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all that the prophets wrote in Scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? And then Jesus took time to show them that as they walked to Emmaus, 7 miles, that's a long time. I mean, that's like 10,000 steps on your watch, okay? A long time. Jesus took the whole time to explain all the scriptures that pointed to the Messiah. Verse 27, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And what Jesus was pointing out was their answer was there all along. The proof was there all along. I have to say, though, I'm concerned about our next generation. Because somehow, they're just going to get lost in life from this simple fact. They can't read a map. I mean, we're raising a generation now that relies on someone talking to them saying, turn right in 600 yards. Okay? And if they don't get the right instruction at the right time, they freak out. As a matter of fact, a couple days ago, I was taking my youngest son to his ultimate frisbee competition. And the place he was going to be playing at was a field that's by the UW Hospital. And I know how to drive from Sun Prairie to the UW Hospital. I know where to go. And before I left, I looked it up and just confirmed the route. I looked at the map. Now, Siri gives you like 3 options of which ways you can go and everything. And so I went ahead and put it in my phone, not because I needed directions from Siri, but I wanted her to calculate what time was I going to show up and were we going to be on time. Okay? So I put it in, put it on, and so it's on the dash of my truck. And my son's riding with me, and we're headed down 151. And you know that if you go down 151, you head towards Madison, you have the interstate that comes up. And everyone, the traffic starts backing up as you got to go to get onto the interstate. And on my map, it was saying, get off. Get off. When I had made plans that I was going through downtown, that this was going to be the fastest way for me to go. But it was saying, there. So as I'm driving down 151, all of a sudden Radley, who's next to me, is like, Dad, are you going to turn? Dad, you missed the exit. And he starts flipping out. Dad, what are we going to do? Can you turn around? And I'm like, just hold on, son. Watch what happens next. And just a few seconds going down East Washington, all of a sudden, I'm on the right path again. Woo! Why? Because I can read a map. Sometimes we got to be able to read to find out what we're supposed to know. You see, it's important that Jesus took the time to say, hey, instead of saying, ta-da, I'm here, he's saying, hey, look to the scriptures, that this is the foundation for believing, that you just don't believe what you see, what you know, what you feel. That there is a foundation when it comes to believing, that when you have unbelief, where you should be going is to the Word of God. That's what we test. That's what we need to know. You see, Jesus was making a very important lesson because, yes, he was right there in person. But you know what? He's not right here right now. He's not standing up here saying, ta-da, I'm here. Look, I'm alive. We don't have that luxury, and I think it was important that Jesus did what he did with those 2 guys he was with, because what he was saying is that belief is not in something you see. Instead of believing, it's about something you read, what you know. You see, the key for understanding the supernatural is believing the scriptures, what the Bible says. Now, if we were to personalize this key and flip it around into a personalized first-person statement, it might would look something like this. It's in the pink box in your notes. And it says that I choose to believe the scriptures in order to understand the supernatural. You see, it's not about what we know, what we see, what we think. It's not about the story through our own lens. See, as they finished their trip to Emmaus, traveling that 7 miles, Jesus was with them the whole time. He was explaining all the scriptures that point out and showing and that it all happened just as the prophet said. And think about this fact. If part of the Bible is proven to be true, what about all the Bible? Okay? He was providing proof right there. And so as he finished the trip, it's kind of funny if you read this, and I encourage you to read this in chapter 24. Jesus does a Jesus juke because it says that he pretended like he was going to continue traveling a little farther, and the guy said, no, stay with us, have dinner with us. We got some fish. Let's eat it together. And so he's like, okay, I'll go to your house. I'll eat with you. And they're like, hey, you're our guest. Why don't you ask for God's blessing over the meal? And so Jesus began to pray. And the Bible says that when Jesus began to pray, their eyes were open and they realized, it's Jesus! And in that moment, he disappeared. What? I mean, you can read it for yourself. He disappeared right in front of their eyes. Whoa! And they're thinking, we were with Jesus this entire time, and we had no idea. Okay, they had already changed their mind about believing. Jesus had helped them with their unbelief by looking at scripture, and then he revealed himself. Let me tell you, that's how it works. When it comes to following Jesus and making him the leader of our life, it's not about spending an hour and 15 minutes on Sundays over on Thompson Road. It's not about serving here or there. It's not about what we give in the offering. It's not about whether or not we're in a life group or we help with an outreach. That's not following Jesus. As a matter of fact, in order to follow Jesus, we need to know Jesus. Because God has asked Pastor Ferg to go on to another assignment, that leaves us with a search of finding who does God have for us. And so we have begun a nationwide search where we have ads out there and people are sending in their resumes. They're like, I want to go to Focus Church. I was like, great. And you know what? We have a really monumental challenge in front of us as we try to figure out who is supposed to be a part of this family. It's like we're speed dating, but we're planning on getting married after the first date. It's hard. And that means we have to find out as much information and not just go into it blindly, but we got to ask the right questions to find out what someone's like. And how do we ask the right questions for someone that it's not going to cause a problem for us later on, that we find out, oh, we don't believe the same thing, or, oh, we're not on the same page, or but we only have a small window to do this. And my kids have been following me on the project with this, and they're like, Dad, you really asked them that question? You see, we have them fill out questionnaires, and they fill out questions for us. And all we're really doing is we're getting to know them so that we can pick the right person, because we're going to entrust this person to be a pastor on our team. We're going to entrust this person to lead our teenagers. And we've got to make a decision and do it quickly. But in order to make a good decision, I've got to read their responses. We have to know. No. When it comes to our view of Jesus, was he just a sacrifice for us? Was he just a good friend who gave up his life? I mean, we are at the end of the book of Luke, and Luke is a story of the life of Jesus. It begins with his birth. It's where the Christmas story is found in the beginning of Luke. And it ends with his resurrection at the end. It looks like a whole complete thing. But did you know that the death and resurrection of Jesus is just the beginning? That there's so much more. If anything, it was in the middle. I mean, it's not the end at all. And I know that when we look at the Bible and we're saying, hey, if we want to help our doubt, if we want to help our unbelief, if we want to believe, and Jesus is saying, you want proof? That proof is not whether or not we can see Jesus in person right now. Proof is whether or not we can believe Scripture, that we can trust God, that he's a man of his word, that we can trust what he says, that he's going to do and fulfill his promises, that when he predicts something, it's going to happen. That's why Jesus was pointing, look at all the prophecies about the Messiah, and then you have proof that they actually happened. I mean, this is the whole point of believing, of understanding the supernatural, the things that are not normal, the things that don't normally happen, the things that blow our minds. We understand it by knowing Scripture, and we have to know it. But we may look at the Bible and say, wow, I hear what you're saying, Pastor. I need to be reading the Bible if I want to help my unbelief. If I want to believe, I got to know what the Bible says. But Pastor, the Bible's big. I heard it's got like 66 books in it or something. I'm lucky to read one book a year, right? Where do we even begin? But how about we do this? How about we collectively say this, that we want to know God's word? And so how about we break it down into bite-sized pieces and say, how about we just start with the book of Luke? And what if, you know, we're busy people, but this sounds like it's kind of important. How about we prioritize reading just one chapter a day? One chapter. So that means if we were to start today, we'd be reading chapter 1 in the book of Luke. And then tomorrow, what chapter would we be reading? 2. And then on Tuesday, what chapter are we going to be reading? And on Thursday, what chapter will we read? I think you're getting the math, right? I was trying not to do a trick question, I promise. Okay? Trying to do it in order. But you know, there's 24 chapters in Luke. But Luke is just halfway through. The guy who wrote Luke, guess what his name is? Luke. Yep. And he wanted to document what happened while Jesus was here. But he ended up writing a part 2 of what happened afterwards. He actually wrote 2 books, that Luke is part 1, and then Acts is part 2, that he wrote that one as well. And so when we finish with Luke, we're going to go to Acts and read the rest of the story of what happened. You see, Jesus was setting up those guys, and he was setting us up to say, hey, you want to believe, you got to understand Scripture. If you want to understand the supernatural, you got to understand Scripture. You got to understand, you have a foundation in that, that that's where we get proof. Because anything that we see, anything we experience, anything that happens that we can't explain, like a guy disappearing in front of you while you're praying for your meal, it's supernatural. But we need to be able to know whether or not it's biblical. Because Jesus was about to do something really big in his followers' lives, if we continue the story. And he was setting up to say, hey, you may not be able to understand it. You may not be able to believe it, but it's biblical if you know Scripture. This IKEA box. Someday, it's going to become all it was intended to become. A great, nice, big bookshelf in my office. Right now, it's a mystery. Right now, it's hard to believe. Right now, the way we see it, it seems impossible. Unless I do one thing. And that is open this box and I find this inside. What do I got? The instructions, right? And it has pictures on finding the parts and which ones go in order and what comes next. And if I will follow the instructions that are in this box, then this box can become the thing that its creators designed it to be. And when it comes to your life, if you will take the time to read the instructions, the Word of God, it will tell you what to do and when to do it, and you will become and you will experience everything your Creator designed for you to be. the guy who wrote the book of John. Guess what his name was? John. That's right. And I pointed out a fun fact about John last week because we referenced John and his foot race with Peter to the tomb. But remember, John never refers to himself as John in the book of John. He always refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved the most. He didn't have any confidence issues, right? Anyways, at the very end, the last scriptures he writes in the book of John, he explains why he wrote this book. And I'm about to read these scriptures for you. Not because they're the reason for why we should read John, but rather because I believe that what he wrote there is not just the reason for the book of John being in the Bible, but I think it's the reason for why the whole Bible is there. So let me read to you John chapter 20, verse 31. It says, "But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." There it is. Believing is rooted in Scripture. You can't have belief without Scripture. If you have unbelief, you need Scripture. And so how about we choose no unbelief here? Because we're going to do what Jesus pointed out to do. Go back to Scripture. Because we can believe it when we read it. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes, as we take a moment to respond to God today. God, we've been looking today at believing and really on your plan for what we should do with unbelief. And we find it kind of amazing that Jesus, while you were walking with these guys down the road, you could have solved everything by just showing up. But instead, you gave us the blueprint for what it takes to believe, and that is to know your Scripture, to see what it says, to know what it says, to believe Scripture, and that's how we can explain the unexplainable, the things that don't normally happen, the supernatural. So God, here today, we want to believe. We need help with our unbelief. So God, help us to be able to look to your word for the answers. God, we've been challenged today to even read a chapter of Luke a day, to start somewhere. God, I pray that you would help us to not only start, but to continue and to complete this challenge. Be with us, God. God, I pray that the more we know you, the more we read the instruction manual, I pray that our believing grows, that our unbelief diminishes, that we trust you more, and we look to you for the answers of whatever's happening in our life. When we can't explain it, we can trust you. And we can still believe because of your word. So help us, God, as we intentionally look to your scriptures to believe in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a few moments ago I said if you came today looking for hope, that hope was found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end, and here we are. We've been talking about this the whole time. Jesus's main purpose was to come to sacrifice himself. That was what was predicted. And that's what he did. He died for our sins, but God didn't leave him dead. He rose him again. And that's not the end of the story, but there's so much more he has for us. But that is the beginning of the story for you and I. You see, what Jesus did for us, it makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. It makes it possible for us to be set free. It makes it possible to have hope in our lives. It makes it possible for us to live with mission and purpose, to have focus in our lives. We're not talking about a life of butterflies and rainbows. What we're talking about, a life with meaning. And that can be yours today. You say, "Pastor, I want what you're talking about, but what do I've got to do?" The Bible describes that we We need to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And when we pray to God, when we go all in, we need to first recognize that we're not worthy. Tell him we're sorry. We need to believe. How do we believe? Well, we trust the person we're believing in, and we have hope that it can be different. We choose to believe. We believe that God sent Jesus. We believe that he did it because he loves us. We believe that he paid the price for my sin. But then we got to decide to go all in, to say, I'm going to make Jesus the leader of my life. He's now the boss of me. And it's in that moment that we're forgiven. It's in that moment we pray that, where we're set free. It's in that moment we become a part of God's family. It's in that moment that we can know that we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. It's an awesome thing. But it starts with this prayer. The fun part about this is that we don't have to do it alone, that God hasn't designed us to follow him by ourselves, but to do it with other people. And that's why the second step after this prayer is actually to get water baptized. And when we get water baptized, we're creating a word picture saying, hey, the old me is gone. It's dead and buried. So when we get placed in water, it's like we've been buried. And when we come out of the water, it's like we are born again. We're showing everybody, I have a new life that's found in Jesus. You see, we do this with the church family, a family God provides that we can follow him together. But the first step is that prayer, and that's what we're dealing with today. And I want to help you with this, so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to say it in bite-sized pieces out loud. I want you to repeat out loud, saying it with me, but you're not going to pray alone. I'm asking the entire Focus family and those watching online to pray this prayer with us. See, no one prays alone here at Focus Church. And this is the most important thing we do, because at Focus Church, we're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray this prayer right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.